Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Sometimes people get upset that they come to church and they're called a sinner. Oh, to church, the pastor called me a sinner. My response is always like, did it surprise you? Now, I understand if the pastor's arrogant. I understand that if he comes in and goes, you bunch of sinners, you lousy, rotten sin. I understand that.
Isaiah 53 tells exactly why and how a sinless, perfect Jesus came to pay the debt for sin for you and me. We are in need of a Savior. That is the basic truth we all need to understand before we can be saved. Have you called out to your Savior for forgiveness? With more from Luke 20, 1 through 8, and Jesus as the one and only Messiah who saves, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The reason that I want to talk about Jesus preaching the gospel is because there are people who say that the apostles came up with the gospel, especially Paul, after Jesus, and that Jesus didn't teach the same thing that they taught. And I think that's completely wrong. First of all, the beginning of the gospel starts in the Old Testament. And there are only two passages I'm going to go to. We could go to more. In fact, if you guys want to, just raise your hand. I'll go to more. I've got them here already, ready to go. Because when I'm making my notes, I add in like, I don't know, six scriptures, and then I have to, you know, pare it down in order to get it done on time. But I want to go to two passages, Isaiah 52, 7, and then Isaiah 53. And that's going to be Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 are the two that I want to go to. Isaiah 52, 7 is connected to the New Testament. Paul quotes this in Romans 10 when he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That means that if you want to bring good news, you have to have beautiful feet. Ugly feet, forget it. I'm sorry, you can't preach the gospel. You have ugly feet. It's of course not what it means. It means the most beautiful thing that we could do with our feet is taking ourselves to someone to preach the gospel. This isn't the only place that's taught. In the spiritual warfare section, put on your helmet of salvation and your breastplate of righteousness, your belt of truth, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and your feet prepared with the gospel. Stand and pray. You put on your armor because we're wrestling against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And then we suit up with the gospel because that's the keys to the kingdom and the gates of hell won't prevail against us. And it's spiritual warfare. Now let's look at this passage that gives us this picture in the Old Testament. This wasn't just something they were coming up with. They were looking back at Isaiah 52, 7, where it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And again, breaking this down into Hebrew, it's the good message that brings the good message. This is where the gospel was started. It came from. It wasn't just all of a sudden brought up by Jesus out of nowhere and then made more of what we talk about today. We go back to the Bible to find what the gospel is. And it goes on to say, and this is what makes up the gospel, the beautiful feet of them who bring good news, who proclaims peace. When we're bringing the gospel, we're proclaiming the peace of God and the peace with God. And they bring glad tidings of good things. God wants to forgive you of your sins. God wants to know you. He wants to walk with you. He's going to transform you, set you free from sin that may have bound you. Good, glad tidings of good things. Who proclaim salvation. We're going to see that this is one of the major connections to the gospel, bringing salvation. Jesus came to save. Who says to Zion, and this is an important part too, who says to Zion, Zion was one of the hills that are in Jerusalem. You've got the Mount of Olives, then you've got Mount Moriah, then you've got Mount Zion. There's some other mountains as well, but these are the ones that are most of all spoken of in the Bible. So Mount Zion is a reference to Jerusalem. And here it says, who says in Zion, your God reigns. So the gospel, let's break it down, proclaim peace, bring good tidings, proclaim salvation, and says that the God of Israel is the true and living God. That Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, the God of Jerusalem, is the true and living God. So someone coming and saying, well, I don't believe that it's the God of Israel who is God. No, we're Judeo-Christianity. That is our foundation. That is our basis. the scriptures, the Old Testament is as sacred to us as the New Testament. And one of the ways that we know that the New Testament was accepted by the early church as gospel, as scripture, is because they treated it the same way they treated the Old Testament. They treated them the same. And so it is the God of Israel. Now, the other passage I want to go to is Isaiah 53. And we could read the whole chapter. I won't. All right? I'm tempted to, but I won't. It's a great chapter. Do some homework. There's a YouTube page, and I think you can just look up Isaiah 53 on YouTube, and where a guy wanders around Jerusalem, and he asks Jews there, can I read you Isaiah 53? Because it's neglected in the readings. As far as I understand, it's neglected in the regular readings in the synagogues. And so he'll read them Isaiah 53. And you can see them confused, and they ask, what are you reading? Is this in the Old Testament? Because it's so much like Jesus. What you know about Jesus on the cross and his death and his suffering, Isaiah 53 is so much like it. It's called the neglected chapter. Well, listen to what it says, Isaiah 53, 4-6. I just want to give you three verses. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we, he did that for us, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. It was because of us that he was stricken and afflicted by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. That reminds me of Romans 3:23, that all fall short of the glory. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sometimes people will get upset that they come to church and they're called a sinner. Oh, to church, the pastor called me a sinner. My response is always like, did it surprise you? Now, I understand if the pastor's arrogant. I understand that if he comes in and goes, you bunch of sinners, you lousy, rotten sin. I understand that. It's like, dude, get a grip. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. It's all of us. It's not you. It's me. It's all of us that have sin. It's not pointing the finger. And if it is pointing the finger, it's the one when you've got three more pointing back at you. You, me, 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 you, me, me, right? So all of we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has gone to his own way. So we need salvation. We need saving because we have left. Everybody, each one. Then he says this, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. That's the gospel. That's the cross. Jesus died for our sins. That's the first statement of the gospel. He took our place. He shed his blood. And we find it in the Old Testament. So the argument that it was made up by the apostles after Jesus, first of all, starts in the Old Testament. Now let's go to a couple of statements with Jesus. And I'm going to go quickly here, okay? First of all, in Mark chapter 1, we're told in the beginning, and Mark is considered to be the first of the four gospels to be written. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So the gospel we believe in is not the gospel of Paul. It's not the gospel of Peter. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen to Jesus beginning to preach this in verse 15 of Mark chapter 1. It says, now after John was put in prison, that's John the Baptist, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So he went around the Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The very first time we're told, at least in the book of Mark, that Jesus preached the gospel, there are two elements to it that we can see, repentance and believing. Repentance is when you change your mind. Sometimes people say, well, repentance is a work. And I don't want to get any nasty letters from you guys, okay? But repentance isn't a work. Repentance is a shift. I no longer want to live for myself, but I now want to live for Christ. You turn from living for yourself and you turn to Jesus and you believe in him. Repent and believe. That's the foundation of the gospel. So when I hear someone say, Paul made the gospel up, I'm like, have you done your research at all? Have you gone back to see if Jesus ever taught the elements that Paul and that Peter and John were teaching about the gospel? Jesus, right away, repent and believe the gospel. Listen to what Jesus says in John 8:24. He says, "Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Again, that's the gospel. You're going to be saved if you believe in me. But if you don't believe I'm he, that's the Messiah, you will die in your sins. Now, if you guys were going to guess what passage I was going to go to prove that Jesus was teaching the gospel, I'm quite sure you would come up with John 3:16. Am I right? That you would go, that is the gospel. And it is. I don't know if I need to quote it or not. I'm tempted to quote it, but I'm not going to. Just get it in your head, all right? It's John 3:16 that people hold up in the end zone, right? And I'm not going to say it. I'm going to stick to it. But I'm going to read to you John 3:17, the verse right after that. So listen to what Jesus says after he speaks about how you cannot perish. I'm not going to quote it. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus didn't come to condemn you. The greatest picture of this is the woman caught in the act of adultery, whom he said to her, "I don't condemn you either. Go your way and sin no more." For those of you that think that Jesus is just wanting to condemn you and that you're going to go to him with your sin and he's just going to condemn you in your sin, he sees you as bound by sin. He sees that sin has entangled you and wants to set you free. Just a couple more and we'll be done. And this is the part about Jesus. This is John 11:25-26, and you'll recognize this right away. This is at the resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And I love that he asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" Because some people say that we ought to preach the gospel and walk away. That we ought to tell people what the gospel is and then walk away and let them decide whether or not they come to Christ. But Jesus was like to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And again, you see the connection. You believe in me, you won't die. Even if you do die, you believe in me, you will live. That's the connection to the gospel. Now let's go to the gospel taught by the apostles. And I want to start in Acts. And here we have Paul. And Paul is in the Philippian jail. And there's been an earthquake. And the jailer thinks his prisoners have escaped, and so he's going to kill himself. He pulls out a knife to kill himself. And Paul sees him and says, "Stop. We're all here. No one has escaped." In Rome, if a prisoner escaped from your prison, you would receive their punishment. So the guy was all like, "I'm done. I'm out. Earthquake. Doors are open. I'm out." And so he stops him. And then it says in Acts 16:30-32, "And he brought him out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Once he realizes that they have not ran off, he comes says, "What must I do to be saved?" Which, by the way, is the dream statement for every pastor. I've had people come up to me after services, very rarely, but I've had people come up and go, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And I think, "You're joking, right? You're just joking me." I do a Q&A on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And a few weeks ago, somebody asked, what must I do to be saved?" And I thought, that's a Christian who just wants me to give the gospel. So I obliged him. I was like, "Well, okay, I'm glad you asked the question. Let me go ahead and tell you what you can do to be saved." And so here's what he says. And listen how much it sounds like Jesus. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." That's what Jesus taught. Is that different? Am I missing something? Where they say that Paul came up with the gospel? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Jesus said, if you believe that I'm he, you will be saved. And this is the last one I'm going to cover. Let me think about which one I want to cover here. I'm going to go to Romans 10. So Paul here, this is the quintessential passage on salvation, the gospel. And here Paul says, but what does it say? This is Romans 10:8-13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. God is near every one of us. Paul said to the Athenians, God is near to each one of us, to the Athenians in Athens. God's near each one of you. And then he says, that is the word of faith which we preach. We preach believing that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, And this is important. It's with your heart that you're believing. That's why I tell people when they raise their hands and pray a prayer, I want to tell them, raising your hand didn't save you. Praying a prayer didn't save you. It was the point of which you were receiving and believing the gospel. And he says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Again, here we are back to what Jesus taught. Whoever believes in him. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. Everybody can be saved. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul said, and this is in closing, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that he said it twice in that passage, I have received the gospel, I preached it to you, you received it, you stood in it, and you are saved by it. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation. You have to receive it. You have to stand in it, believe it, and you will be saved. Jesus said you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be transformed. Someone says, well, I'm a Christian. I'm just not a born again Christian. No such thing. You can call yourself an elephant, but you're not an elephant. You can call yourself a Christian, but you have to be born again. You have to have your spirit brought to life in order to do that. So I could go back over all of these things in my conclusion, which I've set up, but I won't do it. But simply to say, we know we're under authority, but we know the greatest authority for whatever God calls you to do is God. Whether or not you get man's stamp of approval is a secondary issue. Are you under the authority of God doing the things God's called you to do? And if you're called to do something for God, begin doing it. Begin stepping forward. Whether or not you're going to get school or a degree or some kind of recognition from men, that's a whole nother issue. But the important thing is getting God's. And then that we live the gospel, which Jesus was preaching in the temple. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you again so much for what we find here. Thank you for Jesus preaching the gospel and giving us the gospel. That was in the Old Testament. Jesus preached and that they taught after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. We pray that we would be able to take these truths and live them. And we thank you for this. And we thank you for the authority that you give us to go out and do the things you've called us to do. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being called by you, that is the highest authority that we have. And we know that we are under authority. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. And I don't need to give you a big presentation on the gospel because I already did that. But that you would know that if you call upon him today, you will be saved. And there may be a reason why you have never given your life to Christ. It may be because you're religious. You consider yourself to be a good person. And I'm not going to tell you that by human standards, you're not good. Because there are people who are better than other people. And you may be good by human standards. But I am telling you, that goodness that you have by human standards might keep you from God because you think Jesus came for sinners and that's not me. When the truth is, all have gone astray and you need Christ. You need that forgiveness. You might not come to Jesus because you think you're too bad, which is interesting to me. Some think they're too good and some think they're so bad. God doesn't want me. I've done too much in my life. No, you're the exact person Jesus came for. Jesus said, I came to seek and save sinners. And he will save you and he will forgive you and he will call you. And what an amazing thing that he takes someone who's bound in sin, sets them free and uses them in incredible ways. The song Amazing Grace, written by a slave trader who gave his life to Christ and realized the amazing grace that God had given him to call him to be a preacher. You might have done something that is horrible and yet God will forgive you and show the work that he can do. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, you want that spirit to be quickened and brought to life, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just raise your hand. You're saying, I want to repent. I want to turn to Christ. I want to believe. I want to begin to live for him. God bless you. There, sir, that's great. God bless you, sir. Back over to the right. That's awesome. I'm not going to go on and on. But I am going to scan the room one more time. If you want to give your life to Christ now, the Bible says today is the day of salvation because people will put it off. I'm going to get saved when I get out of high school. I'm going to get saved when I get out of college. I'm going to get saved when I get married. I'm going to get saved when I retire. And next thing you know, You haven't given your life to Christ. You want to invite him in and live for him. Just raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. And God bless you. That's great. All right. And if you're online, you don't have to raise your hand, but you can simply pray this prayer with me. And by praying this prayer, you're saying, I believe and I want to live for him. I want God to work in my life. So I'm going to ask all of you, including those of you who raised your hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Now, two things. First of all, welcome to the family of God. When I gave my life to the Lord at 13, I was transformed. God began to do things inside of me. There were things I didn't want to do before that I wanted to do, things that I didn't want to do that I ended up wanting to do, and vice versa. And God's going to bring that transformation. We have a new believers table and a new believers team. Let us begin to talk to you a little bit, give you a new believers card to fill out, get you scheduled to be baptized. Stop by there at least, pick those things up and get that ball rolling. If you're online, you can send a text, ready for Jesus, to 94,000. That's our new believers card. There's a section for you to tell us what God did. And then check the box, I want to get baptized. We'll schedule you if you're here in Tucson. And if you're somewhere else, we'll help you find a church, a Bible-believing church, and a place where you can get baptized. We just want to come alongside of you and help you any way we can. So I want to pray for you before we go. And I like to pray for you based on what we've been covering. And since, again, we've been affirmed that our feet are to be prepared with the gospel, even if you got really ugly feet, cover them up with the gospel and take it with you everywhere you go. And I want to pray that God would open up doors for you to be able to take that gospel with you and let people know what they need to be able to be saved. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands. And I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for all who are here today. As we take time to consider the challenge on the authority of Jesus and the gospel that he was preaching, Lord, help us that we might put our armor on, all of it, including our feet prepared with the gospel. And then open up doors that we might be able to share you, that we would see people surrender their lives to you, coming to you. Thank you that you've guaranteed us that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Let us water, let us plant, let us be involved in the work of the gospel. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you. And his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.